It's April 26th, Sunday morning.
25th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time today, Lord. Bless each individual life with your nature, your way, O Lord. Keep us by your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, that your Spirit would flow this morning, that the thing that would be flowing is your very way, your very nature, your truth, your light, your love. That would be the thing that would flow. And Lord, open us up to receive that in all your fullness, much as we can. Open us up to receive that by your Spirit, Lord. Amen.
We have a lot of theories in Christianity, but they don't bear witness with the Scriptures. And one of them is eternal security. And there may be such a thing as eternal security, but it is not what most people believe. And so people... I was thinking of a fellow that I know that said what he was going to do is just going to sit back and wait for the rapture. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anything in the Scriptures that tell us that. It tells us to always be ready, always be looking for the Lord to come. I was thinking of the illustration that Jesus gave in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Now, a virgin is somebody that's in a good position, according to the Scriptures. And it says, "But 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Well, I'm just going to sit back and wait for the rapture. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. At midnight, there's a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Well, first off, I don't know that you could buy the kind of oil that we're talking about. You know, this is the Holy Spirit oil, and it's of a different nature. And so I don't know where they went to try to buy oil. And of course, that could be the wrong concept. But it says, I forgot where I was at here. Anyway, at verse 6, "At midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us, and you, but go ye rather to them that sell," did I already read that, "and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in and with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, there's a scripture that says that we are to work out our own, our salvation with fear and trembling.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Yeah. I figure you have. And anyway, there's not a fear and trembling outlook in a lot of the church. It's like you just go find a good church and go there and spend your life. I don't see that in the scriptures. In the scriptures, it's a relationship with God that is it begins and never ends. And it's not a hard one. Jesus says, come and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find rest for your souls. And what I have seen as a Christian has not been a hard road. It's not been a difficult way. But it can be if we resist. Mm. If we fight against it, it gets to be really rough. There's another little story that I don't know if we talked about that one recently or not, but Jesus said that when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that he goes about seeking to find rest, and he doesn't find any, and he says, I will return to my house. It's like a demon spirit believes that they own us. You know, they got casted out, but they say that was their house. And we don't have anything in the scripture that supports that. But if we give them a license to our house, they will eventually claim it. And we really have nothing to support that. But he returns and he finds his house garnished and swept, and nothing's in it. And what God is looking for is to be in us. And he wants to take up the areas in us that are lacking. And
you know, you're talking about eternal security. And from one point of view, it has to be that there is eternal security. And that's in the mind of God, who knows all things and knows what's going to happen and knows, you know. But it's so foolish for us to think, well, just because God knows means that it's all taken care of for us individually, you know. We responded to the altar call, we went up there and, you know, made the profession. And so it's eternal security for us, you know. That just because God knows doesn't mean we do. You know? And it is, from our point of view, we do have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And make sure that we don't fall. You know, we cannot pretend that we have God's knowledge on our own personal, what's going to happen to us here after we die. Now, we can have a lot of faith in His grace, and we put ourselves in His hand, and it's you know, that is a safe place. But that's a little different from eternal security, I believe.
Well, it is. It is from what we have. What we have. We've learned to accept or believe. We can be easily be deceived, and that's the thing that we need to realize. And so we can be comfortable in the church, and we finally get to the place we see, well, I'm as good as everybody else. And so if the rapture comes, I'll be fine. And the thing is, from the scriptures that we have looked at them, we're not fine. We have to be on a constant, what's the word I want? A constant
journey or race?
Yeah, endeavor.
Endeavor?
That's the best word I can think of. To do what God has called us to do. And just because we have done something at some point does not mean that we are eternally secure. I guess maybe that's what I was trying to say. And just because we have seen God move, and we have, we've seen some phenomenal things happen, but just to sit back in an easy chair, and of course that's what I'm good at that, but to sit back in an easy chair and just wait for the rapture, I don't think so.
Charlie brought up an altar call, and I thought a lot of people think going up for an altar call is the end of the journey, and it's actually the beginning.
I bet. That's right.
It's the start.
Yeah, I was thinking there's a lot of denominations that haven't even got to the first step, which is to be born again. And then to be born again isn't a guarantee. But it's like, it's the first step, like Kirby just said, you know. But if you don't have that, you haven't even started, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus said, lest you be born again, you will not enter the kingdom, you know. And it makes sense if you study that, what's happening, you know. It means that you're being born again with God from above, and he's putting his spirit in you, and you become his child. You know, and it makes sense. But then, as a child, they don't walk away from their parents, you know, at some age and say, I don't need you anymore at 5 years old or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a continuous journey.
You're not born again fully grown.
No.
It is not a popular message, and you won't hear it most places. If you really get down and talk about what the scripture says, you're given a lifelong task to your dying breath you're required to do. And that just doesn't put people in seats.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get out of it. You can't buy your way around it. You don't earn points to get done sooner. The scripture says every thought, word, and deed is required of you. It's not easy in the natural. You said one other thing, Keith, that I almost came out of my chair telling me how easy it is to be on this walk. And I'm going, I don't know what walk he's on. I'm going, man, I'm out in the desert, and I don't know that being in the desert is easy. Now, I know what you were trying to say, but for the benefit of those who are listening or those who had a difficult time, I would say that God is with you, all things are possible, but there are times when it seems to be kind of hard. The thing to remember is, as hard as it seems to be, there's nothing that's too hard for God not to make better. So if you're in a situation of the natural, you have to remember that this is only temporary, and that God will get you through it. But it might be a stretch to say this is easy, because there are moments when you're going, I don't know, this doesn't feel all that easy to me.
Mm-hmm.
what's in the way.
And that's the thing. A lot of the church, because they go to church, they think it's that's it. And then it is pretty easy. You just come to church every day. Well, then, how come God has all these gifts He wants us to have if it's so easy? You know, all these gifts are to help grow us, edify us, you know. And if you don't want to look at those, well, you've kind of said, well, I'm good where I'm at. Lord, thank you. You know, I don't need your gifts. That's a bad place to be.
I like that. I don't flip around. God has all these gifts for us. And if it's so easy, how come more people don't have all these gifts?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, if it's so easy, why don't you have this gift? What's the deal? What aren't you doing? Oh, maybe it requires more than what someone was, you know.
You better feel like you need every possible thing God will give you. You know?
Yeah. The thing that is so vital in this illustration here in chapter 25 is that these were virgins. And by a virgin, it means somebody that's perfect before the Lord.
And they have lamps, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not just the average yokel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're smart virgins because they have lamps with oil.
Yeah,
lamps without oil, these virgins don't help a lot.
That's right.
So it's
It's not that we can easily understand that because we can't, but there is something about it that we need to understand, and these were not just an average churchgoer.
Well, yeah. See, the interesting thing is, they all had they all had oil in their lamps, but only five had extra oil to bring with.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, you can have oil in your lamp. It's kind of saying that doesn't guarantee you got a ticket in, because then when the bridegroom came, there's a run out, and it's kind of implying that if you don't have a lit lamp, you're not coming in. You know,
you know, if you take your comment earlier about, you know, the oil is really referring to the Spirit, you can also look at that setting and kind of there's a parallel to the setting of the sower, where if you don't have deep roots, you're not going to sustain and be able to go forward. And in another way of talking about the virgins with the lamps with the extra oil, they in fact have deep roots. They had an abundance,
yes,
of spirit, which sustained them, because no one knows when the bridegroom is coming.
So. And that's an important issue here. Is God wants us to always be ready, and because we don't know when He's going to come.
You know, it was kind of bad luck for the foolish virgins. If he just held on a little longer in coming, maybe they would have gotten back in time to, you know. So it's not totally within our control. I mean, the smart thing to do is not take your chances. The smart thing to do is bring extra oil with you. But, you know, if things had unfolded a little differently, then they'd have gotten back, and all 10 would have gone in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it tells us that in an hour that we think not, these things will come to pass.
Yeah.
This parable is interesting because,
yeah,
when you talk about a God with abundant grace and mercy, but that door is only open for a tiny sliver of time, and if you're not ready, you miss. It just doesn't line up. It better be dead spot right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that doesn't make sense with everything else. But I think that's the wrong thing to be taking away from this. I think the thing that's trying to be said is you need to be prepared. You need to be constantly vigilant.
But we can be prepared.
Be as prepared as we can be. Because last time I checked, I don't control when I get the Spirit. He does. Unfortunately. Because I'd be asking for it a lot more. I make sure I'm always filled up. And that doesn't always happen.
Well, I think you got to be always in the place where you are receiving His grace and mercy all along the way, not right at the end, which can still happen.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but they obviously, it was grace and mercy that let him in that little thing, but it was grace and mercy that got him there also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The oil is the word of God, isn't it? Or is it the Spirit?
I wonder.
And usually the Spirit somewhat, but I don't know.
And in this case, how different are those two? That's the yeah. So you can speculate, but I don't know anybody's gonna give you a
okay.
That's another case where I've got a few questions. I wish I were there to ask them. A couple questions. Jesus. Now, what was this oil? Tell me a little more about that. Develop that idea.
Tell me where they were supposed to go and buy that, would you?
Right.
That's the question. I mean, that's the real. Where did you buy this really good oil? Yeah. I wish I knew that place better.
It must be important, though.
I'm feeling a little down. I'm struggling in the natural. I just need to go to the store.
I don't think you can buy that oil. I think you have to earn it.
And that's
there's no way you can be able to buy it.
And I think you're right. You know, sometimes there's we acknowledge that the word is written in a way to put a natural spin on a spiritual situation. And I suspect the term go buy this oil might be that. I don't know. I'm just.
Oh, I think you're right.
Well, well, it could have been that the Lord, knowing he couldn't buy it, is why he sent them to go get it. Because
well, they came back with something. I think they had oil when they came back and knocked on the door and said, whoops, too late.
Oh, yeah, maybe they
did. Yeah, it's kind of like the messenger is like, you don't want to be unprepared.
Yeah.
And, right. and they apparently were not. I mean, they were aware the bridegroom was coming. So, I mean, it wasn't like they weren't in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were trying, but they didn't prepare.
It makes a fine line there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it makes you kind of get back to the thing like, oh, Lord, don't let me be deceived and don't let me miss. Right. You know, I mean, he really, really makes you dependent upon God.
Well, I think you take from it what you can take from it and what you... What's pushing it, you know, just put on the shelf, or, you know. A lot of it doesn't apply just perfectly, at least on a natural basis.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Don't ask it to do something it can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gee, Barb, come on.
Yeah.
I was just thinking.
You know, everything we've been saying, I believe to be true. And yet, it is not our work. It's God's mercy and grace that He has somehow bestowed upon us for reasons that don't have, it's not related to our individual merit. You know? And we must not forget that. I am here not because I worked real hard. I just have a very good father who, for reasons I don't know, picked me out. And, you know, picked each of us out. But I dare not. Yeah, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But I dare not try to think that, yes, I nailed this thing, lest we boast. No, any nailing that got done was Jesus being nailed to the cross. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not how you sort out all that stuff, but
He'll sort it out in his perfect time.
Amen.
But you are correct in reminding us all that we're not winning the golden ticket into heaven based upon our works or deeds,
mm-hmm.
our intellect. That's his grace and mercy. The flip side of that coin is you can't sit back and not have works and deeds and not diligently seek them.
Right. Well, you know, that scripture about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the next verse is, for God does all. You know, it is so strange. It's just on its face, it seems to be contradictory. I forget exactly how it goes, but it is God who does it all. Work out your own salvation, but hey, God's going to do it. You know, it's
that was Philippians 2:12 for those who are wondering.
Oh boy, you are good at knowing these things, Corky.
I looked it up again.
Oh,
even though we talked about it so many times. I was going to read the next scripture. It is the last thing. And 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
How do you make sense of that? You work out your salvation, but it's God who's going to do it.
Your own salvation by letting God do it.
Well, maybe, yes.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I think maybe that's saying it's God's spirit within you, not just God out there doing it. But I could be taking too much literally license there. But you bring a good point. I mean,
well, there's probably a lot of people that really don't think God has to be totally involved.
Yeah. Well, I think that's
true.
The bigger, you know. Yeah.
That they're doing the right thing. You know, we're following the law.
Yeah, I went to church today.
But that isn't having God's will in you working. You know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a touchy place where you should and shouldn't be, you know.
I do think what you just said, though, is so true for so many people. We're following the law, you know.
Yeah.
We're following the law. I'm a good person.
I didn't kill anybody.
I'm doing what my church told me to do.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm following the law, so, yeah. I worked out my salvation with fear and trembling.
Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So if we do have something to do with what happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Draw an eye on the God, and draw an eye on you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it.
So that means it's not automatic.
No.
You know, I think Paul gave away the game when he said, lest any man boast. What we should not do is somehow take personal credit and have a heart that wants to boast about how good we were and earned our way into heaven. That is not it. You know, that's
true. For how good our church is or our services or our understanding. I mean, there's lots of ways that plays.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a a tendency to boast about this thing, you are really, you're barking up the wrong tree.
If I'm mistaken, isn't grace the only way through there? Because isn't grace an undeserving gift?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because what you were saying earlier about law, too, I think a lot of us, we confuse man's law with God's law. Because man's law is pretty easy to follow. God's law is extremely strict.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't always follow it. No one does.
Sure.
So, but grace, I thought, was the only way. I mean, you can, I hear you can do everything you're supposed to, make all the right decisions, and even after that, you're still making some of them out of selfish desires and stuff.
There's a place that just says that, too, but I have no idea where it is. But I know there's a place that really addresses that exact thing in the scripture.
You're right. We make up our own rules, and then we follow them and think, ha-ha, we're good.
We make up rules we can follow and then talk about how good we are because we follow them.
Right.
We ignore the tough parts.
Right.
That's like my to-do list. I put down stuff that I've already done, so I can pass it off.
Right.
That looks good.
Cross that one off.
One of them.
Or 11:6. I'm sorry, Romans 11:6.
Yeah, it was in Romans 10. Yeah, let's read those. I'll read those. If you don't care.
Oh, right. That's where I.
Yeah. I'm going to read verse 5, 11:5 in Romans. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. But over, and then over in 2 Ephesians 2, says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's when you were referring to, Jeff. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's quite a gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should read the next one too, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
One more scripture that kind of goes on that would be 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me.
So. Now you get ready to pounce on Paul right at first, and then when he straightens it out.
He pulls it out. He pulls it out of the head. But you're right. And we have to be really diligent not to get full of ourselves when we talk these things through, like, oh yeah, we've got this revelation and this understanding and da 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 da, and then realize at the end of the day, It's by God's grace, because no matter how well we walk, it wouldn't be good enough.
Yeah.
But it's that has been a, I don't know what you call it, a blessing put on us, that we keep remembering and reminding ourselves that even though God has been giving us truth, a lot of revelations, it's by grace. I think because we earned it, or
yeah,
we deserved it even, you know, and I think we're pretty aware of that.
You know, it works on both ends. You catch me at my worst. I can feel pretty well about myself, pretty good about myself, for, you know, whatever. And I need to know, and I, you know, I do. I need to know. No. Grace, come on, don't be bragging. It's grace. Come on. On the other end, I can see how I fall short, and oh, it can be discouraging. Oh, the great distance between what I know to be right and what I do. But then, no, it's grace. I need not be condemned. It's grace. My loving Heavenly Father is going to see me through this thing, despite all my weaknesses, you know? So both of those things are good to keep in front of your mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's part of, you can believe that, well, then you're all right. I mean, you're still on the way, you know?
Yeah.
If you believe, because it says you got to believe in God first, and if you believe that God can do it,
yeah,
well, then it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Which loops us back to where Keith started, like, hey, there's no eternal guarantee. One of the things that I had to really work hard on was once you get the concept that, hey, it's by God's grace, and God's grace is abundant, that in no way lets me off the hook. That in no way says, hey, I don't have to run the race. I don't have to seek him daily. I don't have to try and show the Beatitudes. All those things are still required. And yet, you know that even if all this happens, it's still not good enough. And it's still God's grace. And even after that, you go, even if I know that, I have that revelation, I'm still not guaranteed. So, like I said, this is not a message you get to hear in most churches, because this doesn't put people in the seats. Because this is hard. This is a hard requirement. And that's why the way is straight and few get there, because it's like, oh, a lifelong task that I really can't complete, but I'm required to. And if I don't do that, I'm falling short. And then someone who knows a little bit comes along and says, yeah, but God's grace is going to cover that, so you're good.
Yeah.
And then you know a little bit more, and you go, well, no, that doesn't work that way.
I never believe that.
Yeah. But it, I tell you, you can kind of hurt your whiplash going back and forth, like, I'm good, I'm not good. I got to only do this once? No, you got to do it forever? It's like,
yeah, but you're predestined.
And God knows how it's going to come out anyway. So, just a little bit. Just wait a minute.
You try to work it out in the natural. It isn't going to happen. Not going to happen.
You know, I like that there's a scripture saying that I always, that I think it was the disciples, they said to Jesus, so what are the works that we must do? And he says, believe God.
Yeah.
Believe in God.
Right.
Isn't that interesting that is a work, a good work?
The necessary work.
So it's kind of, sometimes work gets the wrong definition, I think, or wrong emphasis, you know.
Yeah.
We assume it's going out and doing something all the time, which there is that aspect, but the first thing he said was, believe God.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that one.
Me too.
Hey, great contribution. Sort of a lot of good conversation.
Mm.
So the question is, it says to ask and it shall be given, seeking you shall find, knock and it will be opened. When do you do that?
Every day.
You ask us it always, but constantly.
And once every 10 years?
No. Excuse me, go ahead. Ethan, go ahead, Charlie.
Cool. You're going to be more than just a Sunday morning Christian, too.
Yeah.
Going just on Sunday morning for an hour and then, you know, the while I'm good for the week, I'm good for you.
Yeah, so it says do that, and it should be constant or every day. I can't do that. I don't do that.
No.
Exactly.
You know, even though I know, you know,
I fall
parts
short
of it I probably do.
I fall short.
Yeah. We're always falling short.
Yeah.
Several times a day.
Yeah. Several times. Sometimes an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know the frequency, but I know it should be an attitude.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. It's like it's not happening really good here, so I need to be asking.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be seeking. I need to be knocking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we wouldn't think, well, I'll just wait for a while and we'll see what happens. It don't happen.
No, mm-hmm. All
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played that song, Unfolding Revelation, because it means a lot to me, and it was about me a little bit this morning in the songs I picked. But if you are constantly seeking, you will constantly apply grace and provide grace, and you will constantly know more. And therefore, it will unfold. And so, you know, the encouraging thing you can say is, if I'm constantly looking, and I've had a good heart, and when I'm looking, he will give you more.
Mm-hmm.
And the word will expand and become even more impactful in your life, which makes it easier for us to be less like we are and more like what we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have more of God within us. Which goes back to the other thing you started out with.
Well,
we keep the house from being empty.
And we can't exhaust God.
No. He's tireless.
Uh-huh.
He's tireless. He can take on anything we can
do. So you could keep on asking.
That's right.
And he's not going to run out. You know.
I firmly believe that I will get tired of asking before he gets tired of listening.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting. You said it was an attitude that we have to keep on seeking and so forth. And that has to be true. And yet, the word that he uses is kind of an action word rather than an attitude word. But that has to be true. We need an attitude of seeking. An attitude, an attitude of seeking. So whenever the question comes up, yep, we show our attitude and we seek or something, you know. But on its face, there's some kind of contradiction or tension or something going on there.
We
one of the few places in the Bible where you see that.
We yeah. Sometimes express that same thought as a heart for the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a seeking. Yeah.
Right. I'm right. But mm-hmm. We've been saying that you need to have that attitude, which is having a heart or desire for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting how we kind of we get into the right place. A different way, and the scripture helps us you know, there's scripture guides us into the right thing. You just have to be open to see it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. That love for the truth is there in 1 Corinthians or 1 Thessalonians.
I get those two things. Love versus heart.
Yeah. Yep.
But the point that I want to make is that he didn't put a time limit on it. You know, ask it if you'll be given. What, once a month? On a daily basis? What do you ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Not to be contrarian, but I mean, we just went through all the reasons why you do it daily and all the time, and then you could say, well, what about the thief on the cross? You know, he made sure that his last breath, he did it, and God said, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he go.
His timing was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The flip side of that is, don't bank on that.
Right.
That illustration is one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good scheduling as far as his crucifixion went.
Yes.
Well, you know what? He was the last to come. And he ended up being the first in.
Uh-huh. That's right. The first will be last, and last will be first.
Yeah.
Yep. That's good.
I only mention that because I know Christians who basically say, look, I'm going to live the life I want to, but I'll be sincere at my last breath that I'm seeking God, and I'm going, man, I don't know if that really flies. If you've premeditated that you're going to just...
It doesn't.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I give it a chance is I'm not going to judge on God's judging, right? So I think it's a mistake, but I, you know, it's...
Yeah,
with eternal life, you're going to take that risk, knowing what you know.
There's that parable of the guy who his barns were all filled or whatever, and so he tore down those and built bigger barns and figured, drink and be merry, build, you know, or whatever. Just take my ease, or whatever. And Jesus said, or God said, or something. Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee, you know. So, we're not the one that runs the timing on this thing.
Exactly.
I don't know if this is, that's not anything that's recent, but years ago, I remember hearing about people that were, they were sure that baptism was their way to salvation, and so they were going to wait till just before they died to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever heard of it. And I don't know if they were kings or what they were, but anyway, that's you know, how are you going to know it just before you die?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, the Catholics have extreme unction, you know, the final confession or whatever. And sometimes they can kind of flub up on that. You know, your extreme unction, then you live for another 5 years. You know?
In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, in God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now
yes.
Is the day of salvation.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you die, it's now.
Yeah, you don't put anything off.
Yeah. That's good. I guess I wasn't totally unfamiliar with that scripture, but it's good to be reminded of it. I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah. Before that, he talks about Christ dying for sins and all that, but now is the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good way of looking at the, basically, since the sense of death and resurrection of Christ, we're now living under the new covenant. And the new covenant is saying, don't wait.
Right.
Because the new covenant is not in effect. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is sort of old covenant thinking, isn't it?
Well, I'll
do it when, you know, when it seems like a right time to do it, not now, but
wait till the year of Jubilee or whenever,
right,
whatever
right,
things
yeah.
line up with the traditions. And,
right.
and that scripture kind of says, that's
do
not,
now.
Yeah, the way has been cleared. You know,
mm-hmm.
do it now. Anyway, that's what occurred to me.
Probably goes along the line where it says, too, yeah, don't make special days and
yes.
events and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's old testament,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, and it kind of lines up with scripture which says, you know, you need to be doing it daily. So you don't wait till Sunday to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't wait till the, you know, the first moon of the harvest. You do it
mm-hmm.
every day. You
mm-hmm.
know,
it's so good Friday.
Yeah.
Palm Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Easter. And
right.
all these days of convenience for you.
Yeah. That really, really is the message of the New Testament. Don't have it be a holiday. Have
yeah.
it be
every day.
Yeah, right.
A part of you.
Yeah.
A part of your day.
Well, it's like when it says communion, do it as often as you wish. He's not setting a time frame on that either. Just learning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no time frame on that either.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
God's time is now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And seeing as how you don't know when he's coming, why would you want to take the chance like, oh, I was going to repent on Thursday, but he came on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's kind of like
that's
a come on Wednesday and not Thursday.
Yeah, you know, it's like
that's a bad roulette wheel. That you're
that's
coming
bad
on.
Scheduling,
right?
But
yeah, the more you put it off, the easier it is, too.
Oh, it is.
Keep it, you know, yeah.
I know that in the natural.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just thinking if I said, "Well, I'll do it on Thursday," and it's only Tuesday. I'm not going to remember what I said to do on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just saying that in an hour, I do think not.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of where that is, but in an hour, such as you think not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how about this situation? Well, Lord, I know I did wrong, but I don't know if I repent right now how sincere I am.
Amen.
But tomorrow morning I'll probably feel a lot better about approaching you. You know,
you better
I'm have. Guilty of that. That's why I give it as an example.
Repentance has to be sincere, in my opinion. I feel
yeah.
like it has to be. But there are times when I'm not. I don't feel like I've done anything wrong. I don't feel the... It eventually comes around, but that's one thing I've always struggled with, and I think a lot of Christians do, is the repentance, for you to actually do it, I think you have to feel the guilt, shame, and remorse in it.
Sincerity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't.
And if you don't, are you really repenting?
I don't, then, you know what?
You
that's
ask
where God's grace might cover you a little too, you know?
But that's when you ask.
Because he knows you're thinking on it, mm-hmm. you know? But, like, yeah, you want to be sincere when you repent. You know, you don't want to just say, well, I know I did wrong, Lord, forgive me. And maybe that is good enough. I don't know. You know? know, but it's an attempt.
Well, that's like, Lord, I believe
there's
I have my
other ones that attempted and God didn't favor it, so.
That makes sense.
So repentance is a gift.
Well, that does say the gift of repentance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's a whole nother subject.
Now,
a whole aura, that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I certainly understand. I just don't feel very repentant right now. I'm sorry. I just don't. I get that. On the other hand, for us to be scheduling when he's going to bestow his gift, I don't know. You know, it's...
Ask.
Right?
So the question is, you know you're not making a great choice. And you know you're not.
Right.
You're thinking, you know, I really probably shouldn't be making this choice. And it's really not my heart to do it, but I'm not going to stop making this choice. So when is the repentance really going into effect?
Right.
Tomorrow, I go, you know, I look back, I really should have stopped, but I didn't, you know.
Fact of the matter, we do not run the show very well at all.
Right. You know. I've been having this thought of someone who brought, I don't need to say the name, a lot of your regiments, but the fact that he said, you know, I realized that the blood of Christ is covering me all the time,
mm-hmm.
and completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which you can't take advantage of that either, any more than you can grace.
Yeah.
But it is there.
It is there. Nonetheless, a repentant heart is better than an unrepentant heart.
Well, yeah, and even though it's there, it doesn't give you the license, you know.
Yeah.
You know, does this mean I'm free to sin? Eric still thought.
Mm-hmm.
Or Keith, were you speaking about Matthew 24:44? Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the scripture mm-hmm. you were thinking of?
In such an hour as you think not.
Mm-hmm. Deep in the night.
Maybe we should just stop thinking about it.
Thinking is never good.
Yeah.
Waiting on the Lord is much better.
Yeah.
Well, on that silly note, I think we're done. We're going to wrap on it. We should stop thinking about it and start praying a little more.
Yeah, right.
Bonnie says 10 words.
Time.
Love you all.